for pirates, because of course they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
This is a first down. Pirates.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You better go to Omaha. I can promise you that.
Hand it crumple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
It was an unbelievable atmosphere. I've coached a long time in a lot of great places, and I don't think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. There were some times where it was deafening in there.
This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on the Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
All right, welcome in to Pirate Basketball Overtime here on the Sports Objective for the Pirates down in San Antonio. They get a big victory over UTSA, and that is 84-73. Let's bring in the gentleman from LaGrange, Kyle Barber.
What's going on, guys?
Speaking of Barber,
got to get the interest music coming up here. What's going on? I really honestly didn't get a chance to see the basketball game yesterday. So I will let you and Bubba kind of steer the ship here. I will only contribute my humor and things that need to be said overall about the basketball program going forward. But don't have a lot of insight on the game yesterday. Perhaps Bubba does.
And one thing I will say is, Kyle, I think I know now what you look like on your new haircut. For people listening.
What I look like?
I just figured it out. I said initially, if you haven't got a chance, go on Kyle's Facebook page, or if you're
if you're watching live, you can see it.
You can see it right now. But I said Road Warriors because I love that. That's one of my favorite tag teams of all time. They were badass. Loved them. But I'm going, you may not like this, but I think you're a character from Top Gun. I love that movie very much.
Which character?
I'm going to say, what do you think, Goose? What do you think?
I think I'm a little too fat for that. I'm going to go Big Boss Man.
Big Boss Man. Okay.
Go back to wrestling.
Wrestling. All right. Yeah. And all the way from the great town of China Grove.
Appreciate it, Dave. Yeah. Big win for the Pirates yesterday afternoon. 84-73, as you see there on the screen. Pirates never trailed, led by as many as 25 in the first half, 48-25 at halftime. And then UTSA. They made some runs in the second half. You really felt like they would, and they can score so well. And they knocked it down to 10 points, I guess, on five occasions, but never got it down to single digits. And despite their hot perimeter shooting in the second half, the Pirates were able to hold them at arm's length. And that was largely because of Brandon Johnson. And what a game for Brandon. Brandon had 20 of his career-high 30 points in the first half, 7 three-pointers. But what I like to see in addition to him knocking down all those threes was his ability, because of his perimeter shooting, using that shot fake, getting to the basket, and scoring in a variety of ways. So just an unbelievable bounce-back performance by Brandon Johnson after having just 15 points, I want to say, in the last three games, 30 yesterday in San Antonio.
No doubt. Well, the guy that I was watching now, fellas, is what about Jaden Walker? He finished yesterday's game with 13 assists. He had 8 boards and, of course, 6 points. What were your thoughts, Bubba, on Jaden Walker? He was one that I was really impressed with.
Yeah, Jaden had a heck of a day, and like you just pointed out, he really stuffed the stat sheet. You know, we'll go ahead, since you referenced those numbers, we'll bring up those numbers for the Pirates, the individual look at the box score. The Pirates had four guys in double figures, led, of course, by Brandon's 30 points, 10 out of 19 from the floor, 7 out of 11 from three, 37 minutes for Brandon. But Jaden Walker getting back to his stat line in 34 minutes, and he did start yesterday's game, which has been a trend of late. But Jaden, 6 points, 8 rebounds, and 13 assists. Obviously, when you're knocking down shots the way the Pirates were yesterday, it's much easier to have those assists than it has been the last several games. But Jaden, nonetheless, did a tremendous job of playing the point. Bobby also did some nice things off the bench. But, yeah, Jaden Walker, just a couple of rebounds away from having a very unorthodox double-double, and not too awfully far away from a triple-double. But then also in double figures, you had R.J. Felton, 16 points, 6 rebounds in 34 minutes, and Cam Hayes finished with 10 points and a couple of rebounds in 27 minutes, knocking down 2 3-pointers.
I was interested to see, too, Bubba, on the stat sheet, 13 of 33 from three-point land, 39.4%. That anytime you can be right at 40% from three-point range is really, really good. I would say one of my sticklers, they only had 9 free throws, I know, yesterday, but 5 of 9, 55.6% from the free throw line. But it doesn't matter. They still won the game. But that's always one stat I look at is certainly free throws. And we can always do better, for sure.
Yeah, not what you'd have liked from the line, for sure. But from three, such a dramatic improvement over the last 3 or 4 games. The Pirates has shot just, I think, 18%, just dismal.
Yeah.
And we had been bad prior to that, and it got even worse. We were
in the 20s, guess, right?
Yeah, and we were 29% for the season, 27 within conference play. Then yesterday, just shy of 40%. With 13 makes, 7 of those by BJ. So that was a tremendous improvement, and hopefully that will continue. And like Mark Adams said on the broadcast, he really thinks that this team can make some noise down the stretch and in the conference tournament. We don't have to necessarily make 13 threes, but if we can shoot it, you know, 33, 34, 35% there, and right, just make some shots, with our defense, we could make a run and make a little noise.
And if you look at it, the 10 out of 21 between R.J. Felton and Brandon Johnson. So those two really carried the way. And then Cam Hayes, good to see him, 2 of 4 from three-point land. So really, really happy with that stat, Bubba. That's one that you and I have been talking about for the length of this podcast for the last almost six years. We've been talking about three-pointers and how if we make – I know it seems like it's such a cliche for basketball for East Carolina, but if you make 2 or 3 more threes, you win the game. And so that's how important it is in this day and age in basketball.
It is.
Go ahead, Bo.
The fourth Pirate in double figures was Ezra Assar. Ezra had 11 points, 3 rebounds, 5 out of 10 from the floor in 26 minutes. And it provided the Pirates with something off the bench. And the final thing I wanted to point out as far as an individual line was that of Sir Malanga. Sir came off the bench, and Matt and I were discussing this. Hopefully Matt will get to a better cell area where he'll be able to chime in as well before we wrap up the show today. But Sir had 4 points on a pair of dunks, one on a lob coming on an out-of-bounds play, and the Pirates dialed up some tremendous out-of-bounds plays as Johnny Gardner and I were discussing right after the conclusion of yesterday's game. And here is the way that one looked from Bobby Pettiford to Sir Malanga.
Wow. Nice jam there, and he's only going to get better. That's a great thing, and that's one of the things that I love about our coach, Mike Schwartz, is his connections. They're doing a really good job recruiting when it comes to the local and the 252, when it comes to statewide, and, of course, nationwide. But and then he also has the connections overseas, the international players. I really like his formula, if you will, for that. And he does have the transfer portal, but he's not putting everything, like a lot of coaches, in the transfer portal.
I just wanted to ask Bubba, did he get express written consent from East Carolina, UTSA, the American Conference, and ESPN to use that clip?
I don't know. If not, he's going to have to go to the penalty box.
No. Yeah.
So
I may spend a little time in the penalty box, but
I like to spend a little time in the box sometimes.
I bet you do.
Taking a look at these team numbers, the Pirates, 19 more shot attempts than the Roadrunners, 33 out of 72 for ECU, 45.8%. UTSA, 22 out of 53, 41.5%. The Pirates, as we've mentioned, 13 out of 33 from beyond the arc, 39.4. UTSA really heated up after halftime, finished the game a very respectable 10 for 26, 38.5% from three-point range. Pirates, as Dave noted, just 5 out of 9 from the charity stripe. Meanwhile, UTSA was an excellent 19 out of 21, 90.5%. The Pirates held a slim 37 to 35 edge on the boards, including 16 to 11 on the offensive glass. ECU, with the improved shooting effort and better ball movement, 21 assists compared to just 8 for UTSA. Pirates, 10 steals, the Roadrunners, 4. And East Carolina turned it over just 6 times, while UTSA committed 12 miscues. The Pirates were outscored 17 to 12 in fast break points, and the Pirates dominated the paint 40 to 22.
Great to see. That's speaking of stats that really matter. That rebounding stat right there, Bubba, you're almost double, and that's domination on the glass. So good for the Pirates. Good win. And Kyle, as you know, it's 12 and 12 on the year. We still have a chance, Kyle, to make postseason play beyond the conference tournament.
Yeah, if you post a winning season, being in the American, a 3-bid league, most likely for the NCAA. So if you post a winning season, you're probably going to get a CBI invite. So the question is, will the administration, you know, CBI might cost you a little money. I think we should definitely take it, particularly if we end the season hot. And we'd almost have to, like, if we got like the 18 wins, right, we would be playing good basketball at the end of the season. I think you would be pretty ignorant not to accept a CBI invitation, and that's a lot of ifs and buts and fruits and nuts. But, you know, I heard Gilbert had some negative comments in the past about those postseason basketball tournaments outside of the NCAA tournament NIT. But if he were here back in, was it 13? When we won the CIT, I don't think he would feel that way. So, and the CBI is more high profile than the CIT. So, there's a lot of basketball to be played before then. And who's to say, hell, maybe we'll win the tournament and we'll go to the big dance. But if we play well enough to end up with a winning season, and we have the CBI opportunity, I'd like to go ahead and put that out there now. And I'd like to know the administration's thoughts on it. Are we going to accept that invitation if it comes, but that's yet to be determined based on how we play down the stretch.
Yeah, but you're right, Kyle. The good news is for this basketball team, you know, we have baseball starting less than a week away, and we know how our fans, including myself, all of us on this show, love baseball. But guess what? There's still a lot to play for, and I'm happy for Mike Schwartz and all the coaches and the players and the staff around basketball that we still have something to play for in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, and I mean, we could win the conference tournament. I mean, it's possible, right. But you would like to think if we have a winning season and we receive that CBI invite that they'll accept it. Time will tell if we get the opportunity and if we do. But I think now is the time to start talking about it, be proactive rather than reactive, and kind of get the message out. If you're a Pirate fan, get the message out to the administration that if we have that opportunity, that you'd like to see the Pirates in the CBA.
No doubt. And Bubba, you know, when you look at this, guys, when you look at the schedule coming up, we were talking in the green room before this show. This four-game stretch is really critical because you have the one we won yesterday with UTSA on the road. You have, of course, on Thursday night, we need to have that place packed for Military Appreciation Night. 7 o'clock on Thursday night, we have Wichita State. That's a game we could win. You never know. You have another home game, Kyle. Our Black History Month game is against Tulane. That's Alumni Day, by the way, next Sunday, the 18th at 2 o'clock. And then you have one of Kyle's favorite universities. I say that sarcastically. He always talks about Rice, at Rice, Houston, Texas, on the 24th. So the next three games are critical. If there's somehow, some way we could go 3-1 and 4-0, that would be a great. And then, of course, we have, what is it, four games after that?
Well, we've played better, really, on the road than we have at home this year, honestly.
Yeah.
If not better, tit for tat. Recently, we've seemed to play better on the road. So we're almost due to win some conference games at home.
That's a very good point. So make sure, guys, to keep that in mind. Thursday night, we need a packed house. That Wichita State game, normally that's a tough opponent this year. They're struggling, and get them, knock them down, man. Let's go ahead and get another win. And then, of course, when you have two home games, look at this, Kyle. The next, out of the next four games, three of them are home. So, and then that Rice game. And speaking of Memphis, Bubba, what in the world is going on in Memphis? Do you think Penny Hardaway is going to have a job? I mean, those folks are, you know how we are about Pirate football and baseball.
Are they struggling all of a sudden? Yeah. Are we not looking like a three-bid league still or what?
No, they've been struggling down the stretch. I don't know about this week. I'll have to look. But as of late, they have not been playing well at all.
Yeah, as Mark Adams noted yesterday on the broadcast, he stated that entering the year, it was supposed to be FAU, the Memphis Tigers, and everybody else, but it has not been that way, to say the least. And Memphis had a four-game losing streak, and without beating Wichita State on the last-second shot, it would have been five. And I know earlier today they got off to an excellent start against Tulane, and we'll see what that score is now. If it's not over, and it's pretty close to being over. But they jumped out to probably a 12 or 13 point lead in the first half. And that
Can I ask Alexa, Bubba?
Sure, go for it.
Go for it,
Alexa. What's the score of the Memphis Tulane basketball game?
In a men's basketball game, Memphis is beating Tulane 82-67 with four.
There you go. 82-67.
They're playing better today. They here lately. They've, like I said, they've been struggling. I mean, people are. In Memphis, you can imagine, Kyle, even though he's a local kid, Penny Hardaway, they are not happy in Memphis right now. He's definitely on the hot seat when it comes to basketball there.
Well, their standard, especially in the New American, them in Florida Atlantic should be 1-2, and they should be, you know, they want to be competing. They think they should be competing for national championships in basketball, at the very least.
Yep.
You know, Sweet 16 type team, and
exactly. They're
struggling to make it into the tournament or even to win the American. So that's not going to fly in Memphis. I know a couple weeks ago we were a three-bid. What is bracketology showing now? How many teams are they saying we're going to get in?
I think it's two with another one on the bubble, right? Maybe I don't know that Memphis can get in now. I think they pretty much have played themselves out. We'll see. Maybe.
They can win the conference tournament, but
right.
Yeah.
So you got FAU definitely, and one more. Well,
is it Charlotte, North Texas?
Yeah,
probably North Texas.
And SMU, maybe S. Well,
we still may be a three-bid league.
Yeah,
a three-bid league even without Memphis.
Yeah, I'll see. I'll access to bring up the net rankings and take a look at that. With South Florida's, I believe it's at least eight, maybe a nine-game win streak now, and they rallied from at least 15, maybe 17 down yesterday at Rice. Pretty furious rally there.
Yeah.
Early in the second half, they had sliced what was about a 15-point halftime deficit, and and actually taking the lead only 4 or 5 minutes into the second half and hung on, I think 68-65 or 68-64 was that final. But what a job that Abdur Rahim and that staff have done since arriving there in Tampa from Kennesaw.
I want to say hello to Shell from the – hello, boys from the Queen City. Hello, Shell. Appreciate you very much.
It should be a potentially an interesting conference tournament with with the amount of competitive teams that are playing in the American right now. So,
and Kyle, we were talking about these four games, the first of being yesterday. You have UTSA, Wichita, Tulane, and Rice. We talked about that. But the last four games of the season, if they're on an uptick, we'll see Memphis, North Texas, SMU, and Charlotte will be the last four games. So we've got to win these four somehow, some way, to keep our dreams and hopes alive for not only a winning season, but like Kyle said, if we get 17, 18 wins, something like that, we need to go to the CBI. I have no issues with that whatsomever.
No,
Some other scores on the American scoreboard from Sunday afternoon, in addition.
Bubba, you just completely cut out.
Yeah, the American scoreboard.
Memphis 88, Tulane 73. And then you had Charlotte, and the 49ers barely escaped Philly with a win 73-70 over Temple. You had Florida Atlantic in overtime barely escaping Wichita State, and Robert Matthews had pointed that out.
What's up, Robert?
Wichita State had a chance to win that one in regulation, and then Florida Atlantic ended up winning by 13 points in overtime.
Wow.
You had SMU take down Texas 71-68, and then you had UAB. They won 70-60.
Yeah, you're cutting out like crazy, Bubba. We're getting part of these scores, but we got the gist of it. A lot of interesting scores of competitive basketball in the American this Sunday.
No doubt, and congratulations to the Pirates. Again, a big win, 12-12 overall as we creep down the last eight games. So we need to go, I think Bubba said, 4-3, and that's getting a win in the conference tournament to be able to get a winning season. So yeah. I'm not the stats guy. Isn't that right, Bubba?
Yeah, 4-3, and then a win in the conference tournament would get you to 17-15. Even if you lost your second game in the conference tournament, you would obviously finish with a winning record at 17-16. But now, hopefully, we do better than that. But at the very least, I want a winning season.
Exactly.
And we've put ourselves in a position with some of the losses we had in non-conference play, which is an all too common occurrence down through Pirate basketball, or at least recent Pirate basketball history. You know, losing some games that you really felt like you should have won, where you have to have a better conference record to accomplish some of your goals. But at this point, again, 5-6. So if you go 4-3, then that would get you to 9-9 in American play. And that's far and away, or would be far and away, the best we've ever done, because we've never – our best record ever is 6-11, Joe Dooley's final year. We had one game that we're missing there, I think, because of COVID. But yeah, you had – I think we've won six, at least two, maybe three times, but never more than six. And here we are at five with seven games remaining, so – We need to eclipse that this year. Hopefully we'll get to 500 or above.
That would be great, because that number six is just like, it just seems like that's the magical number, and we need to do way better than that. But it seems like that's the best that we can.
Well, if we don't do way better than that, then we've shit the bed throughout the rest of the season, because that's one more win.
Right. I agree. We should do better than that, especially with these, next three coming up. You feel like you can get one, maybe two down the stretch here, especially when you got three, and you got three out of four home games out of the next four. So we'll see how that plays out.
and our record on the road, you talked about how we're playing better on the road. And yeah, our schedule is probably, yeah, we went to Florida Atlantic and UAB, but some of the games that we've won on the road are against teams that are below us in the standings, just for full transparency. But in years past, that's something that we haven't accomplished. So we're definitely making progress. Never as fast as anyone would like, obviously Coach Schwartz and staff included. But last time, going back and looking at it, I'm trying to remember. I want to say it was 15-16, but that we had won three road games. But we've only won three road games a couple times in the last decade. And the last time we won more than three road games, which is something that will hopefully happen this year, was way back when we won the CIT. We won six road games that season.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at you look back at the games, guys, there's so many games we could say we had a shot to win, and we didn't. And so just the Northeastern game hurts. The South, going back to the USC Upstate game, that really hurts. These so many games in the conference, the North Texas game, you know, it's just so many games we could talk about how so close, but yet, like the cliche, so far away. And hopefully we can get it done down the stretch like we talked about. I know we've got a, for those watching live, we have a Super Bowl show. Do you guys have anything before we get out of here?
Not a thing. Just looking forward to see how we finish out the season. And hopefully we get that win this season and at least get some CBI play come March.
Yeah, that would be great. And we got it's one for us here at the show. It's a very busy time as we have coming up basketball. We have, of course, spring football and baseball at the same time. Probably the busiest time of year for us when it comes to doing the show. All right. Once again, congratulations to the Pirates. Big victory, 84-73 over UTSA down in San Antonio, Texas. And we appreciate you watching Pirate Basketball Overtime right after, right here on the Sports Objective. Good day, everybody.
What purple?